I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won.
All right, legends, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. We have got something very special for you today, something that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. As you know, Kat's joined the team over the last few weeks, and when I first met Kat years ago, I knew that I wanted to have her involved in Guru because we just vibed on the same level. She knew what I was thinking, knew what I wanted all the time. And this is someone else that from the moment I saw his content, I just knew I've got to have him involved somehow. If you go to Instagram, the Messenger RL, go and have a look. I absolutely love the content that Tom produces. I'll introduce him in a moment. But when it comes to rugby league content creators, I genuinely do believe he is the most underrated by far and away. I'm actually a little bit filthy myself for having him on today because I kind of want to keep him all to myself. I'm not going to lie. But he does deserve so much more. Tom, welcome on, mate.
Happy rugby league to you and you and your family and all you hardworking Aussies out there by blue and white collar. How are we going, Guru?
I'm going well, mate. You sent me a text today when you arrived. You said, mate, I'm in the car park, not sure where the entrance is. Yeah. I said, yeah, I'll come find you. Sweet. And I walk around the corner. I thought, oh, I've never actually met Tom in real life. How am I going to know what he looks like? And then I saw one of the greatest kangaroo jerseys I have ever seen.
Sick,
I thought,
I
reckon that's probably him.
Yeah.
I reckon I'm probably safe as houses walking up to this dude. Tell us, where'd you get that one from, for starters?
It's a hand-me-down, so it's from my uncle.
Yeah.
So he bought it in 1990. Him and his brother were going to the United States, and they were there for about 2 or 3 months. And so he bought an Australian jersey, and my other uncle, Brian, he bought a Roosters jersey, even though he goes to Canterbury because he wanted to say he was from the eastern suburbs. And so they went around the state. So this jersey's been to Soldier Field in Chicago, and I came into possession to it a couple of years ago, and I love it. It's my favorite shirt.
You can't buy greens like that anymore.
It's like the fabric is so fucking sick on it. Sorry, can
we, swear we can away, go blue? Please
no
do.
No worries.
This is rugby league.
Let's go, fire up.
Now, mate, now some of you would have seen, obviously, and we're about to launch the set over the next few weeks, so you'll see a lot more of them and throughout the year and into the future as well. But I've had some guru designs made by Tom that are based on grand finals. We're actually going to go through each of those today and talk about the special little features in all those because, mate, there's little – and this is what I've always loved about Tom. When I looked at his content, I said to him, hey, mate, I've got an idea that looks kind of like this, and I've got a broad idea in my head, and it's almost like you've plucked it out of my melon and just times it by 10. This design here, the logo that we've got here, Tom did these for us as well. And I remember, mate, I came to you with like just the most airy fairy. I want a 1990s. I want a bit of a Winfield theme. And you just went, shut up, let me do it. And you came back to me within days and I went, oh my God, I absolutely love it. Perfection.
You know why? It's because something that we've both lived it.
Yeah.
We both know what it looks like. So when you say that, I know exactly what you mean. And I can just I know the reference. I know the time. I know what that graphic design looks like. And it's like, I cherish it just as much as you do. So yeah, it It might sound like what you're saying is hard, but I find it such a fundamental, easy thing because we both love the thing, right?
Yeah, and that's the and I just from talking to you today, you've used these words a number of times. The Venn diagram of there's a lot of really good designers on social media that are fantastic. They do unbelievable work. It's cracking. Then there's a lot of people with great rugby league knowledge. You are right in the hey diddle diddle for me.
Yeah.
And what I love is that it's not your knowledge. And, you know, I haven't spoken to you all that much about rugby league at the end of the day. I'm sure, you know, stats and all that sort of stuff, you're probably well and truly across. But the little niche things in rugby league that make rugby league what it is, you're probably the person I've spoken to the most in my life that just seems to nail every down to the carpet of the RSL clubs to the, you know, and some of these designs, just the little things that you've picked up on that are just the most purest, dribbliest rugby league ever. And I love it. And I feel like people like us don't meet each other enough in life that appreciate this sort of shit. And, mate, I'm very lucky that I've slowly built a community that does appreciate that sort of stuff. And, mate, if people haven't seen your Instagram page, they're about to, and their lives are about to get turned upside down. And I guarantee they're about to lose 3 hours of their life best way possible. So take us through the Instagram and everything. What's the handle? What's the story? Take us through all of it, mate.
So the Instagram handle is TheMessengerRL. And so that's a collaboration between me and my best friend, Tom Smith. He was formerly a writer at Rugby League Week. Mm. I'm a high school visual arts teacher, so with a graphic design sort of background. And we just love footy. And we talked about this at a time when during COVID was hitting, we had a lot more time on our hands. And we just love sport. And we came to this sort of place where we want to do something with rugby league because that feels so fundamental to who we are. While we met at soccer, we love cricket. We can talk about lots of things. Rugby league feels fundamentally so special to us. It's our childhood. And we sort of see each other as rugby league people. And when you find somebody like that, it's sort of special that we've sort of shared this and we've built this sort of thing because it really is just a love letter to the sport and what we've sort of grown up with and why we love it. So, and what we're sort of talking about then, where you're talking about the niches, it is that Venn diagram where, you know what, I could talk about footy, but you know what, I'm not Phil Gould or Ricky Stewart. So my opinion does or doesn't matter, just depending. Where I love hearing those blokes, but what I'm an expert in is what the game looks like or what I want it to look like. If that's Winfield Cup sort of graphic design or if that's the mid-2000s, or if that's footy cards or stickers or sick jerseys, that's the things that we are sort of experts in because we've lived it, we've bought it, we love it. That's what we're about.
Some of my favourite rants that you go on social media are around...
There's a few
and they're absolutely cracking. Whenever I see one, I strap myself in and I sit down for a few minutes and just take it all in. Whenever, and you know, and I do the same thing, but you know, sometimes I go to post it on social media and I'm like, do people care about this shit or not? But then I read your stuff and I'm like, no, I care about this, so other people must.
Right.
When you share an image and you know, it might be Parramatta versus the Bulldogs from 2000, and you will analyze down to the strips that both teams wore, the football that they used that day, the advertisements that are on the side, what the paint on the in goal was, all these little details that I constantly think I'm a freak for caring about this shit. No one else does. And then when you analyze it, I'm just like, I love this. This is what this game is about for me.
People care what it looks like.
Yep.
We can talk about what the game is and stuff like that, but it also comes down to the aesthetics. And because we're both, everybody's sort of a visual person, what it looks like really fundamentally matters. That's why I care a lot about jerseys, because if it's a bad jersey, it just looks bad. St. George versus Brisbane in their classic jerseys looks amazing. Mm. If they're in dud jerseys with like V8 supercar sponsorships all over the top of it, what are we doing here, guys? We're losing the romance of what the sport is. So those are the things that I sort of love about it as well. And even like dumb brown cardigan sort of stuff where it's blokes wearing retro jerseys doing stuff at Magic Round. That is like, that's rugby league. You know what I mean? It's not just about 26 blokes running around on a paddock. It's the whole culture that is built around the sport and people using that as their identity.
Culture's the key word, isn't
it? Yeah, that's what we're about.
Yeah, and that's what I always felt like. There's rugby league fans and there's rugby league fans like us, and the rugby league fans like us can meet each other for the first time and have conversations you don't have with anyone else and have total confidence that you're going to get what I'm saying. Yeah, and it's that footy culture that is just – it's just priceless to me.
It's going to games. I think it's fundamental going to games. If you're not going to games and experiencing it with friends or family, it's sort of fundamental, the sights and the sounds of it. It's going to pubs, and it's going to good pubs. Yep. And what I mean by good pubs, it's when like your feet stick to the floor. That's a good pub for watching football. You know what I mean? Yep. Maybe not a Merivale, but Vic on the Park's pretty good. Or it's watching it just like it's Tuesday night, the missus is out, you've got pizza, and it's almost like, yeah, I'm going to chuck on the 1998 prelim or the 04 grand final just for shits and giggles because I've had a hard day at work or something like that.
I love, mate. You know, I've brought a lot of people into this studio and there's a lot of things to look at and everything. And I think you're the first person that I've gone to say, oh, these seats are from the – and I knew straight away you knew exactly where these seats are from the SFS. Stadium.
That colour.
Yeah, that colour is – and that's my childhood. I would pick that colour. If you took me to Bunnings and snuck it in there somewhere on the paint wall, I'd be able to pick out SFS seat.
How do you find the new footy stadium compared to the old?
Only been there once. For me, mate – rugby league, I find it because I'm so busy and everything. Like I've watched the vast majority of games at home. Because for example, if it's a Friday night game and I go to it, I miss the early game.
Yeah,
and I've got to catch up on it at some point. So I've only been there once. I know it's very easy to bag the new and everything. I actually really enjoyed it out there.
Yeah,
I really like the stadium. Only been there once, but I enjoyed it. What are your thoughts?
I went to the two sort of opening games, so the two East South games,
yep.
The round 26 game and then week one of the finals.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it, especially the day game there, but I found it a little bit cold. It sort of feels like a FIFA ground, if that makes sense. Mm. I don't know. It feels a little bit generic, where the other one was a bit more classic. It felt aligned to Sydney because you had that sort of sweeping grandstand that was white, so it feels like it's aligned to the Opera House architecturally. And the thing is, well, now we're getting real fucking niche now,
yep.
Is that the original stadium and the new one was both designed by Cox Architecture, but the original one was very much designed as an egalitarian ground. Mm. It's for everybody. Even the corporate boxes are outside. Where this ground and even that the new Parramatta, it's got the corporate hospo in mind. Yep. And we might talk about the West Tigers and how that's going to kill Leichhardt.
Yeah.
But those ideas of egalitarian idea of architecture and art and design and rugby league, it's almost like that's what the sport's about.
I'll tell you what I miss the most from the SFS, mate.
Yeah.
And I think you'll appreciate
it's
this.
A concrete shithouse, is that it? Or leaking toilets or?
The thing that I miss, mate, is the walk up where the members are on your right.
Yep.
Just that walk and there was the arc statue. Up. The arc. And like I go there now and like I was at NRL headquarters a few weeks ago and I just stood there and now it's just flat. A wall of stairs. And I just sat there and just went, oh.
You just took me back to the 1998 grand final. Yeah. I'm now 7 years old and walking up that hill.
Mate, coming up that hill.
No, you're absolutely right.
And even when I was a kid as well, I remember there was a period of time where it was Aussie Stadium. And you'd see the big Aussie up there. You'd have the members on the right, the squash courts. Like I still remember being a kid and walking through there and going and watching Artie Beetson play squash. And just like he'd be 140-odd kilos playing squash, not moving and just dominate. I remember sitting there at the SFS with my old man, he was at the gym and I was sitting there watching Artie Beetson play Anthony Minicello in 2003 in a game of squash. And Minnie, probably the fittest human on planet Earth at that point potentially, Artie was just hitting him around the court laughing at him.
Owning the tee, just side to side. How good.
Yeah, as long as Artie got to serve and then he could waddle three steps to stand in the middle, he'd own you for the entire set. It's a memory that I will never, ever forget. Obviously, Artie's passed now, but one of the all-time greats. And that walk up the SFS, that was my childhood. That's I loved.
It was a temple.
Yeah, it was a temple. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. And so to have these, mate, I've had these for about 6 years now and I've been waiting I had these before I started Guru and I've just been holding on to them going, these will come in handy at some point. And now I get to build my own little rugby league mecca / temple. Well,
that's the thing where the new ones, they're the flip up where here you could actually stand them and do some real damage with these sort of thing. You know, I'm sure a couple of Canterbury fans have thrown them out and thrown them at Roosters supporters before.
No doubt. And I'm sure they probably deserved it too. Now, Canterbury, you're a Bulldogs man.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, I've been sitting here looking at you going, are we sure this isn't Drew Hutchinson? There's a bit of a lookalike there, yeah.
Forehead territory, what's going on?
I just think that the hair, you know, just there's a lot. I'm seeing a lot of Hutcho in you, and I'm a huge, I don't know how you feel about Drew Hutchinson, but he's my Supercoach draft halfback right now. I've always loved Hutcho.
I back him because I remember his sort of time at St. George. I think he kicked a golden point field goal.
He was a gun back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost like he went to the Roosters, and I can see why he was at the Roosters, because he's just a good footy player.
Yeah.
He's a hard trainer. He works hard. And those sort of things based around it, it's a good character of a football player, first grader, where you're adaptable, you're a good trainer.
Yeah.
And that's what Cameron Serraldo has done a lot, where you're signing Hutcher, but you're also signing these other blokes like Kurt Mann and Curran, where are they going to fit? I'm not sure. But guess what? They're first graders. And they train hard and they bring a character to the football team.
And you know what else I like about those guys too? Using your words, where do they fit? I don't know. They don't know exactly where they fit, so they're still hungry and they're still fighting. And I think that, you know, the big running joke is Canterbury have signed all these utilities. I reckon in 3 years' time there'll only be a handful of them left, but they'll be the guys that have put their hand up and have earned a spot somewhere.
It's also building a culture as well. And that's something that's, you know, we don't need to get on a huge tangent of what's been wrong with Canterbury Bank since it's Des Hasler's left. But there has been just a culture where accepting of, well, if we're going to lose, okay, well, it's not the end of the world. Or what's acceptable at training? Like, again, I'm not there. I'm not going to privy that. I'm not feel good. And I'm not going to judge that. But I'm just going to say, you can see with that recruitment path that they have signed good, honest first graders. And it will figure it out. Because if you can set that tone and culture and training, that will then reflect through the rest of the footy team. They're signing blokes of character. It reminds me a lot of like 2009 Dogs, when we got guys like Mick Ennis, Stagg, Eastwood, Ben Hannett, where it's almost like we're just getting all these sort of clean skins who are good, honest first graders, and they're going to just set us up. And it's not exactly the same, but it's the same plan. We're going to sign good people and good first graders, and that's going to sort of have a trickle of effect through the rest of the first grade side.
It's interesting hearing you say there, mate, that like to some extent there's become a culture of losing is almost okay at Canterbury, which to me and the Canterbury I grew up with,
it's hard.
It's unbelievable. But you talk to some young kids that don't know any different. There's it shits me to no end. And, you know, we've got Blue Wealth Property are our major sponsor for our Supercoach show. And one of the guys that works here, we work very close with, is Andrew Mortimer, who's the son of Turvey. And just hearing him and, you know, obviously what he grew up in, being Turvey's old young bloke and seeing all that, just the spot that the club finds itself in now, like imagine if you would have suggested 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that it would be okay to lose at Canterbury.
Oh, just not acceptable.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And I don't want to sort of be a person who's shitting on the team and stuff like that because I understand where they are and what they're trying to get to. But I just sort of get really reminiscent and nostalgic for like we were the baddest team on turf.
Yep.
We were the Oakland Raiders. We were so bad. We were Willie Mason, O'Mealy standing over Bryce Gibbs, Mike Tyson at his best, worst and baddest or something like that.
Yeah.
We were scary and now we're not that and I don't know. It's a Canterbury that's in flux where sometimes I struggle to recognise as well. I think the thing that worried me for a while was we were signing these quality players, guys like Matt Burden. And I feel like, are we going to ruin Matt Burden? Not because Matt Burden is not a good football player, but the culture and the setup around him. And also, do we have the cattle to support a young half learning his trade? If your forward pack's getting belted week upon week, how is he going to learn and become better from that when he's just in a losing side all the time?
Yeah.
It makes it hard for good players that you've signed. Like I felt when we signed Matt Burden, we've got the number one draft pick almost. He's the best exciting young half going around that we've seen in a while. And because he sort of rescinded and it's almost like we've forward pack that's getting beated, club that's sort of going nowhere. Are we just going to burn this generational talent just because of what's going on at the football club?
Yeah. And that was the big worry for me when you signed Burdo, that you know, you knew you had, as you said, the number one draft pick, the best, potentially the next best 5'8" in the game. But you never solved the halfback problem.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we're heading in a general direction.
You needed an old head. I know I'm talking out of generation, but like a Brett Camorley, a 34-year-old saying, I'm going to show you the ropes. Like the St. George halfback would have been fantastic, get him over, where I think it just would have cleaned everything up.
Yeah. Even like a Jamal Fogarty, potentially.
Just an older first grader, which is going to, this is how we do the trade.
Yeah. Yeah. Mate, you have, over the last couple of months, designed some unbelievable things for me. And I just, I and quite often met me and Kat will be talking. Kat's here, by the way. Kat, how are you? Sorry, I didn't get to
Hi guys.
Bring you in.
Good no, to have I've you. Just been very engaged in what Tom's saying. I think I can't wait to kind of, for you to dive into what all of the posters mean and the graphics and like your thinking behind it, because you're so articulate about where the Bulldogs are at right now. It's so clear that you've ridden the wave of emotion of seasons with this team, and it's really quite captivating to listen to.
I'm fucking excited. Yeah. I'll tell you that much for free.
No, I really appreciate hearing that, Kat.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Now, the designs we've got, mate, we've got 9 altogether. I would like you to tell me which is your favourite. So I went to Tom and I said, mate, I want designs for the studio. I want them to be based on key grand finals. I want them to feature, you know, essentially every team we possibly can, and we've managed to tick all those boxes. You guys will see more and more of them over the next few weeks. Some of you keen eyes have picked up on some of them from Instagram posts and whatnot. But, mate, if you had to pick one of these to kick off at, where would you start?
I think the 2023. The reason for that is we did that by ourselves, and then once you saw that, you sort of got on board and said, can we do almost a series of it? And I feel like this whole series doesn't happen without that one. And I feel I've made that one grand final week, and we really enjoyed doing this where it was a collaboration between me and Tom. Tom does drawings, so he's quite a good sort of cartoonist.
Yeah.
And then he'll send me the drawing, and then I'll then put that in an Illustrator and I'll design it and stylize and do a bunch of stuff. So we've got the leering Penrith Panther over the old school Bronco, but there's a really interesting thing here going with scale. So the Panther is enormous and he's sort of leering over, and where this comes from, this initial image comes from an American cartoonist, Jack Davis.
Yep.
So he did all this sort of NFL stuff during the 70s and 80s and 90s. And initially this drawing is a Cincinnati Bengals sort of tiger, I suppose, leering over the rest of the NFL. And so I really like that image because, again, sort of a big cat, Penrith Panthers, and the whole idea is the Panthers are the Goliath here. That these two teams are not meeting on even footing. That Penrith are the monolith. They're going for 3 in a row, where Brisbane are just the challenger. They are the next one up. And I really like that imagery. And that's why the Panther is so big. The Bronco is small. The Bronco is sort of puffing its chest out. It's snorting its nostrils, saying, we're going to have a crack too. But it is the Panther saying, like, take us on and we're going to fuck you up.
I'll tell you what, when I look at that one, sort of a bit of a gateway drug for me. It's what got me hooked.
Yeah.
It was because like the design that you guys are seeing on screen here, it's got Rugby League Guru at the top 23. Like, that wasn't on the original. It was grand final week or something along those lines.
So that was initially taken from a 1970 Rugby League week. So the exact sort of word mark, and sort of played around, and then I've adapted it there. And then right at the bottom where it says Penrith Panthers, Brisbane Broncos, that sort of word mark is sort of taken from early 2000s Big League with that sort of font and word mark, where you've got the small font of the name and big of the actual mascot.
That makes me think like 03 Panthers.
Yeah.
That's and the Brisbane Broncos, I would imagine that's exactly what it would have looked like in 2000 grand final week.
Well, that was the thing. Then with the post when we initially did that, you slide over and we've done the Big League like it's from the early 2000s, but love for that. The 23 grand final.
Absolutely love that. The Panthers jersey that you've chosen is very much so the Sanyo Panthers to me. And I like love that jersey.
I suppose the new – isn't it a bit weird how Penrith have had a different jersey every grand final?
Yeah, and I'm talking off the dome here, but like the first one was – it represented the 90, that sort of.
I think so. 2020, they had their normal one. 2021, they had a normal one. 2022, they had their early 90s classic with the barcode, which I think is their definitive jersey that they had against Para. And then last year, they had the 03 throwback as well.
Which is wild because they're actually kind of running out of jerseys. They've been so successful now, they're running out of jerseys to throw back to.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Let's go back to Chocolate Soldiers. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Holy, that would be unreal. Kat, do you know that reference when we say Chocolate Child? You were this. Go ahead.
So initially Penrith wore brown and white.
Mm.
I'm not really sure why, but the whole idea of the Chocolate Soldiers that they would be playing out at Penrith in March, it'd be 40 degrees and you would melt. And that was the sort of the reference point there. And I think they ditched it in the late 80s, 89, 90 when Gould was there.
I think it was just as they got successful.
Yeah. So they lost the 90 grand final against Canberra and they were wearing brown and white. And then the following year they had changed the red, green, yellow, black with the barcodes.
Yeah.
Which is just like, well, that to me is, that should be the shirt. But I understand why they have that. It's a lot cleaner for sponsorship. But that 91 or the shirt that they wore against Parramatta for me is the best Penrith shirt.
And if you go back through like the history of that period, as you said, in 1990 they wore the brown one.
Yep.
You know, at the end of that season, there's the 1990 Kangaroo Tour. And of course, Fittler goes, Brandy goes, MG goes. Yeah. There was a number of Panthers that went on that and spent a lot of time with obviously the Canberra Raiders boys on that tour. And you hear them talk about just how much they learnt from that tour and how much they
picked
it. Yeah, like because obviously Ricky Stewart was there, Laurie Daly, Mal Meninga, Bradley Clyde, like all of the superstars of the Canberra Raiders were there. Then all these Penrith boys, Johnny Cartwright was on it as well. And a lot of them were, as they called back then, the emus of that tour. So they would play the on the Tuesday night against Widnes or, you know, whatever it
and
might be.
And then get on it on the weekend.
Get on it. But they said the entire time, and Phil Gould had told them, just take note of what these guys are doing because if we're going to win a comp next year, we're going to have to beat them. And they took note. They came back, 91. And, obviously history is what history is. Incredible stuff. And you got to – I always think, mate – I know you'll appreciate this. I always think that early 90s Panthers was such a strong, dominant team. And unfortunately, it probably was the death of Ben Alexander that sort of split that team
and
up.
That's the thing. It's almost like the human tragedy of that thing. Football's football.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is something more important sort of affected the whole thing. And what, Brandy? Well, Brandy didn't leave, but he went later to the Warriors and stuff. But the thing is, the football club was never the same, was it?
Well, mate, from like obviously I wasn't living out there at the time, but you talk to people that were, and you know I've heard Brandy talk about it that like Penrith wasn't the same.
Because of my job, I worked at a Catholic school in the eastern suburbs with a really good rugby league. I won't say which one, but we had Brandy come out do the New South Wales sort of origin launch.
Yep.
But that's when they were doing the whole sort of road safety and stuff. And he came and talked about his brother to a bunch of Year 10 boys. And it was just like pin drop stuff. I hadn't fully heard the story until Brandy was there in the room. And it's sort of, it's
devastating, like devastating in general. But the impact it had on the Penrith Panthers, that was 1992, I believe. Mm. And, you know, obviously Brandy leaves, Phil and Freddie go to the Roosters, MG sort of lost his way for a little bit there.
Western Reds and stuff like that.
Western Reds, Balmain. I think straight away he went up to your minor, is it? I think he went up and
your
played there.
Your minor bunnies?
Yeah, your minor bunnies, that's it. He ended up there and was in a really bad way. I always look back on that 90s Panthers and sort of go, fuck, you know, what could have been up there?
Yeah. But then with this, we see the other side where it's harking back to classic Broncos.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's get the team back together. Let's get the band back together. Is this a Broncos team on the precipice of another sort of dynasty or a golden run where we've got guys like the 5'8", the fullback, the front row? It is got dynasty sort of vibes.
Yep.
My only sort of thing is, was their best chance last year?
That's my worry. Yeah.
That Herbie's gone, Flegler's gone. It's just the roster might not be as strong and Reynolds is just another year older.
Yeah, that's the big one for me. Reynolds another year older. It's a tight window. Mate, the other thing that stands out for me and when I look at this clip and, you know, I don't know if anyone else will think this, but I'm sure you'll appreciate it. The background, that eggshell sort of white.
Yeah.
It's just that is rugby league week. That is teamless for me. That's the first. And as I said, once again, I'll give you the example. If you took me to Bunnings and you lined me up 1,000 whites, I'd be able to pick that out and go, that's the teamless colour.
It's a romantic sort of colour. It's warm. So there is a sense of like it is full of nostalgia. It's rose-tinted sort of vibes to that. I'm just trying to think of anything else. The spikes of the boots. It was almost like we are going to walk over. We are going to put you in the dirt. And that's also because we were talking about what Penrith were doing, where 2020, they obviously lost to Melbourne. 2021 was sort of like a struggle against us. They got there. They might not have played their best football, but they won. But then 2022, they were like, we're the real deal here.
Yeah.
And now 2023, it was all about like this is, we are crowning our achievement. Look how fearsome we are. We are it. We're the hottest shit going on, and you should be terrified of us.
Yeah, not only are we the hottest shit, we know we're the hottest shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the confidence of it. And that's what we're trying to communicate, that that was Penrith not only leering over the Broncos, but the rest of the competition.
Yeah, you know what else I love about it is that, you know, I would describe it as an arrogance the Penrith Panthers have, an arrogance that I love, though, because they know how good they are, which is what the Broncos were in the 90s and 2000s.
And that's exactly what we're trying to communicate. Yeah. That's why the Penrith is so big there. When, if, do you want to sort of, we could segue to 02 if you want.
Go ahead.
Where the whole idea is like 23, Penrith is so big there. We're 02 here. We're seeing two teams who are sort of equals that haven't been to, well, East had been to a grand final 2 years earlier.
Yep.
Were they the finished piece? They were sort of meeting as equals. We're 23. There was no way that we could ever sort of see Penrith and Broncos were equals on that field that night.
Now, the 02.
Oh, this burns me.
Yeah, I was, you know, that was going to be what I was going to kick off with. Obviously, the 02 grand final.
Was there as well. Because we were going every year because Dad would buy grand final tickets in June, July because, you know, the Dogs are good.
Yeah, so obviously 02, we have the salary cap scandal. The first one, the Canterbury Bulldogs obviously have all their points taken off them. One of the greatest sides we have ever seen. And the 02, mate, when I think back to the 02 grand final, honestly, I almost look at it as an entree to the 04 grand final.
Yeah.
And that storyline. So
there are a trilogy of grand finals, 02, 03, 04. I know it's a trilogy for East, but it's a sort of a running narrative where I feel like that era of football culminated in the 04 grand final, and then 05 we went to something else.
And that's what I love. It was 02, Canterbury aren't there. The Roosters go and get the job done against the Warriors who, you know, I don't think either of these two teams were better than Canterbury that year. Salary cap, whatever you want to say. You then get to 03 and the Roosters play Canterbury Bulldogs in the prelim final.
And the Roosters, I remember the kickoff.
Yeah.
And Willie Mason, I think it was Steve Price or Willie Mason, and they forced him back 10 yards. And it was almost like, oh, shit. You could feel it being in the ground. Me being only like 13, 14, it was almost like, oh, we're in trouble here.
And it was funny at the end of that game, you know, at the end of the day, that was the Roosters grand final. They had to put everything into that.
Into beat Canterbury.
Yeah. And you talk to players from that. Like I've had many Texas Walker on the podcast and you talk to them and they go like, we knew we weren't going to win that grand final because we'd put everything we had in our bodies into beating Canterbury.
You could see it.
Yep, you could see it. They were sluggish. They were, And then the next year after that, you get to the 04 grand final, which I've been to many games. It's my favourite game I've ever been to, and I always say...
I love hearing that. Yeah. Well,
mate, as you know, I'm a huge Brad Fittler guy. Freddie's my guy. That was Freddie's last ever game, and, mate, I remember still to this day, the loudest noise I've ever heard in my entire life was when Canterbury ran out that night. The roar was just unbelievable. It's when Bobcat makes that tackle at the end. There's so many little things from that game that I'll never forget. Like I remember there was obviously the tackle by Bobcat. I'll never forget. Like I remember as Hazim El-Masri goes to score his try, and a little thing that's forgotten is Shannon Hegarty gets there. I was at the game and I've watched it a million times since, but I still remember live as it was happening, watching El-Masri wrestle on top, and people say double movement, whatever.
Nah.
There was a moment there where Shannon Hegarty was there and he had to either get, he slid off, started clapping.
Yeah.
And I remember standing there live going, what the fuck is Hegarty doing? And then El-Masri comes over the top. An incredible game.
I love the 10 seconds before that with Sherwin going sideways, pulling defenders out of the line, and then the inside ball to El-Masri running on the angle. I love Shifty.
Yeah.
And I don't think Shifty ever got to play at the rep level that he really deserved to, just because he played at a time when, you know, you had Andrew Johns, Brett Camoli running the show.
I always say with Shifty, and I'll die on this hill, and I'm pretty sure you'll join me on this hill for the first time, it won't be lonely. Short kicking game alone, Shifty has the best short kicking game I've ever seen in rugby league.
I'm not against that because I'm a Canterbury supporter. I think Johns is it. If they're on the same level, you're going to get fire me up because we've the kicking the short kicking game now this season has been killed because of the rules.
Yeah, it sucks. They've already tried to kill it with the seven tackle set. And now they've just killed it even more as time's going on.
It's a bad product.
Yeah. It's a very poor decision. The fact that
you're seeing teams surrender on fifth tackle rather than trying to grab an in goal. again, I'll go on a tangent. Let's move on. Let's talk about O2. So we've got the Warrior and the Rooster. The Rooster I'm really happy with. So these were both influenced by NFL sort of drawings from the 80s as well. But I really like the Rooster because of the addition of the headband with Fitler.
Freddie, yeah. With
Richard Villasanti coming over the top.
Villasanti!
A bit of a cheap shot, but then that was the sort of turning point where that could have been the Warriors on top. We're going to physically intimidate the Roosters with half an hour to go.
Yeah.
But all that did was just the Roosters just like, well, fuck you guys. You came after our captain. We're going to demolish you now.
Yeah, it was the old sleeping giant term. Adrian Morley was reasonably quiet in that game. Once Freddie was hit, you just saw Morley go bang.
Click, yeah.
Yeah. An incredible moment in grand final history. I also think, mate, that Warriors jersey, when I think about the greatest grand final tries.
Stacey,
right up there. I think Stacey in 02 and I think Cody Walker in 21 are two individual tries that are lost to history, except to nerds like us because they didn't win. But, mate, that play that Stacey pulls off.
The ground just lifted, didn't it? Because there were so many Waz fans in the drawing. I think the Mad Butcher just bought a ton of tickets and distributed them to, like, Kiwis living in Bondi. But the joint went through the roof and it was all of a sudden, because I feel like the Roosters dominated the first half. But then when Stacey sort of stepped through and made that try, it was almost like, oh, they can turn this on now.
Yeah, they're on here. Yeah. And it just, I think he steps past Mick Crocker, maybe Ricketson. Freddie goes for the ankle tap and misses. He runs around. Lukey Phillips, like, some pretty handy footballers there. Like, it's a cracking try. It is unreal.
And it's also, it's at a point in the game where it's 6-2 and they go ahead 8-6.
Yeah.
And that changes the game. Second half, there's about half an hour to go and it's almost like the game is now at a precipice. Mm. We're like, we're on here, buckle up. It's just sort of it's a bit similar to 2014 where we were hoping for a classic in the last 20, but then the dominant team shows why they are the dominant team and blows them out of the water.
It's interesting too, like when I think about the Roosters, like I personally think the Roosters, 2000, 2004, I think it's one of the greatest assemblements of a squad.
It's badass, isn't it?
And you know what?
How good's the cap?
The what?
How good's the cap?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, for me, the 02 team was good. I reckon the 03 team was better than the 02 team and I reckon the 04 team was better than the 03 and the 02 team. The 04 team, and that's why Canterbury should get so much respect, the 04 team Roosters, people will say Parramatta 01 and on stats I agree with you, but the Roosters 04 team is the best team to never win a premiership, in my opinion.
The Roosters had a grit that the Parramatta didn't.
Yep.
Parramatta was silkier, fantastic attacking force. But that was the sort of thing where that 04 grand final was so gritty. You couldn't give up a yard and then Mason with those post-contact meters pretty much bring the team kicking, screaming along with him. Sonny Bill with a hit on Flannery. It was just such a physical, hard game. And it felt at the time, every time there's a grand final at Homebush, at night, it's going to rain. It was this dewy, wet, misty rain in the first half. It made it slippery, handling errors. It's just a hard fucking game of football. But that also characterised the two teams and the character of what they were about. And then it sort of, the next year at 05, it went away. It was like, we're attacking and everything touch changed. Footy and flick passes.
Yeah, everything changed. Yeah. You just had Tim Sheens who just turned the game on its head. And the Cowboys, to their credit. Like, obviously, like that's the other thing people forget, that Jonathan Thurston was obviously on the bench for Canterbury in 04, goes up to the Cowboys and just revolutionises the way that they play their footy. No, I shouldn't say revolutionise, but like they obviously lost the prelim to the Roosters the week before in
04. Took them to another level.
Another level, yeah, for sure. Mate, the thing that I love about this design, one of the things, I've got a few more things I want to bring up with you, but the league week design, just the border on the outside, I love how the Rooster and the Warrior are sort of, they're on top of that design. They look like they're within it, but they're on top of it. And, you know, I think I've actually still got this specific rugby league week that you've based this off in this studio somewhere.
So it's the 2002 big league grand final edition. Yeah. So I base it specifically off the colours. Even the banner at the top where I've got almost your sort of social media blurred where it's analysis, predictions, opinions and super coach content. I think it was like inside win like a Nutri-Grain footy and 500 bucks or something. Yeah. But like I've taken that, even like the old Telstra premiership logo, which I love. That was such a good aesthetically looking logo. and I've changed the Telstra logo, and it's the your G,
G
is
yeah.
in that as well. The Warrior is sort of taken from a mid, again, NFL, but it's like a mid-90s. There were so many good iterations of Warriors merch in like that 95 to 96 sort of season.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've sort of borrowed a couple of different things from there, and sort of that's how that sort of come together, where the Rooster is a little bit much more sort of college American football-esque.
Talk to me about the Warrior. The boot stands out for me.
I think it was Stacey's boots.
Yep, Stacey's. Yeah.
So I was doing a deep cut at the time because I wanted to get the jersey details really right, because the V is quite unusual with its shape. It's curved. It's got that red trim around it. It's sort of when the brand was in flux, moving from Auckland to New Zealand.
Yes, yep.
And they were sort of foot in both camps. At the time, I thought it was a really ugly jersey, but I've sort of come to love it now.
It's aged nicely.
Yeah, it's now if they pulled that out as a retro, I'd love it. And those boots are just so peak, early 90s. They're garish. It also talks about Nike coming into rugby league during that era, and that sort of Nike was the predominant brand, where they've sort of walked away from league.
Yeah.
I always felt like Nike gear in league was aesthetically just looked the best.
The other thing that I always think of this jersey, like, and sort of, you know, playing a part with that Nike sort of vibe to it and stuff, I always think this jersey for me, and I think it's one of the great losses to rugby league of all time, Ali Lawatiti left
not long
after this. And this is, you know, Ali, people don't understand how fucking good Lawatiti was. He was
offloads for days, yardage. Mate,
he was once described as the Michael Jordan of rugby league.
I was thinking that too.
And honestly, people are going, it's a bit over the top. It was a fucking understatement. He was unbelievable. He obviously went over, I think he played for the Bulls for a number of years over there, Bradford. Yeah. Carved it up there. But, mate, if he would have stayed in rugby league, he would have been one of the greatest back rows we've ever seen. He would have by far and away been one of the most entertaining we've ever seen.
Who was the Warriors coach in 02?
Daniel Anderson. We wish Anderson all the very best.
Did Anderson go back in 02 and 01? Anderson was our coach in 09 for Parramatta.
Yeah, he was 09 Parramatta. Yeah, but was he 09 Parramatta? Yeah. When was he at Parramatta, Ando? Was he the coach of the 05 side too with Timmy Smith and stuff?
No, Brian Smith was. I remember that because I was at the 05 prelim.
Oh, no, he was 09 Parramatta, wasn't he? Sorry, yeah.
I was at the 05 prelim, and we just had free tickets. I think we won it through Telstra.
Yeah.
And we're sitting like in the bowl at the back on the corner sort of thing, cheap seats. And they were playing North Queensland Parramatta prelim. And Thurston just put on a clinic. And we loved it because it was Thurston, it was Paul Rahihi, and it was Travis Norden. It was Dogs of 2002. It's almost like these guys are still beating Para. And there were Para fans where it's almost like, kill Brian Smith. Like it was mental disintegration, that football team, on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
And I just sort of loved it. Where I think if a Parramatta fan at the time, you'd sort of die inside.
I'll tell you what else I love about having those two next to each other, and you'll appreciate this. Like, obviously, that Panthers side, you know, their main guy and their goal kicker, Nathan Cleary, that Warriors side, their goal kicker that night, Ivan
Cleary.
There's
a lot of symmetry there. Yeah. Yeah,
very cool. Very, very cool. Mate, the 0-2, I absolutely love that one. Probably not remembered as one of the greatest grand finals of all time, but it was a cracker. Our next one is
a bit different, eh?
Yeah.
We didn't experience it either.
Yes, yeah. But it's part of rugby league folklore. And I think that, you know, the 2015 grand final is probably considered to be the greatest grand final of all time. But this one is pure fucking rugby league, man. And I'm going to hand it over to you. But this one, it just screams Winfield to me.
That's the thing. Yeah. So this was one of the early ones that we did because I wanted to, again, a love letter to the Winfield Cup branding. It's so romantic. It's so seductive as well with that word mark. And that's why I've got that right at the bottom, making the big game bigger, because that was the motto before Simply the Best. And it was very again, time and place. Like once you see it, it's almost like you're transported to that time. And then these are just really fun sort of mascots.
Yeah.
We've drawn them sort of based on Full Ball, which was, again, that sort of 90s brand where any of those sort of really great classic tees that you might see on eBay or Instagram that people are sort of flogging, it's that sort of classic brand. And so we just wanted to do something really fun, really aggressive. So the Raider with his pickaxe ready to march on. The horns were just really fun to design as well. There's just a lot of character in that face, and that comes down to Tom's initial drawing too. And then with the Balmain one, it's actually the old Balmain sort of logo, but it's reversed the other way.
Yes.
It's not even the Balmain logo. It's the Balmain League's logo, which is stylized version of the original Football Club logo. And they're just really romantic, lovely sort of like smash them up, fun sort of logos that you could that would sort of sit well on a t-shirt. And then it's just got this really seductive sort of text where you've got the Winfield Cup text. There's that Rugby League Week style text for the teams, even down to the really precise, the date, the stadium, where it feels like you're buying this outside the ground on the day. And then I really love the word mark up the top, this Guru 89. And I feel like I should have maybe romanced that a little bit more in some of the others, but you see that the year is present in all of them, mm-hmm. where it's Guru, the grand final is present. But I really like that really tall sort of, it's quite a powerful font at the time. And then it also sort of sits with that big league sort of cursive where it's had that sort of thick underline at that era. And it just looks very iconic for the time.
Mate, when you first sent me this one, loved it. I looked at that and went, fuck, this guy gets exactly where my life is at right now.
It's also
now
got like the Winfield Cup that we've used for your merch as well.
About to say to you, mate, the number one thing that stood out to me was it was the first appearance of the Winfield Cup, which we've used on the merch, on the hats here. Have I got that hat on, the red one?
Yep.
Yes. We've got it here as well. And I just think, you know, as much as you've only just redesigned what the trophy looks like, it's just iconic. I love the way that it sits on that one. It's just subtle. But it is just so fucking perfect.
It's satisfying, isn't it?
Oh, mate. It just – and, you know, I think that nowadays – and, like, even for that trophy, like, I believe this is the grand final after where Laurie Daly drops it off the back of the bus and breaks it and, like, just
– now with the sunglasses going down Civic in Canberra.
That Canberra Street Parade. There's so many photos from that I'm just like – this is 90s rugby league down to I know it's 89, but this is.
But yeah, it's the same sort of era.
So just nostalgic pure. I love too, mate. I don't know how you'd describe it. You'll be able to describe it to me, but I love how it's almost like designed like a badge.
Which one? Oh, the actual
89. Yeah, how it's got like it meets down at the bottom like that.
So that's taking the old New South Wales rugby league logo and the shape of that and romancing that. So because again, it's quite curved. It's the meeting in the middle and then just elongating that so it stretches all the way up and then you've got that sort of red into that golden gradient of the trophy as well. The other little detail I really like, and this is nerd shit that I think you would like as well. So on the old big leagues, you would see right on the top where it's almost like official publication of New South Wales Rugby League, 1994, volume, blah, blah, blah. And so what we've got done there, it says Rugby League Guru Podcast, and then I think it says podcast, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter maybe. I can't remember the exact, but it's matching the exact same font. So, again, trying to look for real authenticity that it's all in the details.
Those little subtle things.
Yeah. And it's, again, as we've said before, football people know that.
And, you know, like when I look at the first three we've analysed, like as I said, we've got the eggshell white, we've got the gold around the O2, and then that red once again. I'm going for another trip to Bunnings and you could take me down there and I could pick out the Winfield red out of a thousand reds.
It's sexy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Well, no wonder that cigarette sort of marketing was doing it, that Winfield was sort of running the New South Wales Rugby League sort of marketing operations at the same time.
Now, the next one. And this is probably, I would say out of all them, probably the most controversial one, which I've heard your explanation of this and I get it 100%. My wife, I'll be honest with you, huge South Sydney fan, she almost took offence to this one. And I explained the storyline to her and she just wasn't able to get it, you know, just couldn't get it. Now, when I look at the 14, mate, you know, I just spoke about iconic backgrounds. That green absolutely hits it out of the park.
Again, that's reminiscent of like early sort of 1999, 2000, the start of the NRL branding era where it's almost the combined competition coming back and them sorting out what the actual brand and imagery looks like. And so that's what it's adopting there with that green.
Now,
an image too, right, in the back
so the
of
image
that.
Behind it is from the protest marches from 2000 when South were kicked out. So that was the sort of whole
that
idea.
That detail is so satisfying.
So it's got a halftone pattern, like it's like a newspaper text on that green. And the whole idea there, it's where South have come from.
Yeah.
The romance of that, but also the sort of tortured existence that South had to go through, that they were the also-rans easy beats, that they went broke, they got kicked out, they had to fight to get back in. And if you know anything about that sort of law, I tell you what, you still don't really know how they were able to get back in. But they just sheer bloody mindedness guys like Andrew Denton and Anthony Albanese on the board, George Pickens, making that sort of happen by, again, bringing the rugby league community out. And as I remember as a Canterbury sort of fan, it was almost like Canterbury aligned themselves to Souths and trying to support them during their sort of plight, where that's why I always sort of feel like a soft spot for Souths, because the Canterbury sort of board at that time were sort of like a brother in arm to South in a certain extent that they helped them get back into the competition. That's why I sort of love that grand final, even though as a Dogs person that they lost. It meant a lot because my brother-in-law is a Souths fan.
Yeah.
And so it was me, my sister, and him went to the game. He sat in the barrow. We sat in the kennel. And that grand final week just meant a lot to me at the time, because everybody wanted South to win.
Mm.
And I totally get it. But I want my football team to win too. And grand finals are so rare. And even though going for Canterbury at that time, we were 2 years out from the 2012 disappointment. But it also meant, because we'd lost that grand final, this means more. This is going to last forever. And now it's almost 10 years later, sort of you cherish it even further. Even though losing that game, just to be there at the big dance means a lot. You're proud of your football team. You're proud of where you're from. I was so proud to be from Canterbury Bankstown. That's who I am as a person.
Yeah.
And that's my football team at grand final day. But also what South means to so many people across the country, not just in Redfern and Maroubra, but the fact that you've got supporters in Liverpool, you've got supporters across regional New South Wales and Queensland, across the country, and what South means to them. So that week was really special to me. So I apologise to South fans if they don't like the depiction, where the whole idea here is they are the pride of the league. They are the song. They are Reggie Rabbit. They are the romance. They are the grand old flag, so to speak.
Do you know, when you said they are the Reggie Rabbit, I got goosebumps on my arm. I think I understand where Beck was coming from when she first saw that and said, why is the Bulldog so intimidating?
Because we're bad, right? And we're going to fuck you up.
Yeah, and fair enough. won. But at the same time, when you describe it like that, we won, but Reggie Rabbit's our guy.
Yeah.
He's our rabbit. Didn't need the big intimidation. We had
Russell Crowe talked about our rabbit is a big black rabbit, which is it leers up, it's got long fangs, it's going to get you. But the quintessential image of Souths is Reggie. And so let's stick to that.
Mate, months ago when you sent this to me, you explained to me, and I remember there was some reference to Bambi.
So,
and that's what stood out to me. Yeah.
So FBI Radio, just down the road from here in Redfern, so they used to do a rugby league program by Stephen Ferris called Fire Up, and it would be on a Friday morning from 9 to 10. And so whenever I wasn't working, just chuck it on. And it was just such fantastic content. I still think they run as a podcast, but I don't think they're no longer on the radio. So FBI, if you don't know, is a community-run radio station, but very much indie sort of music in Sydney, and that's just who I was at the time, listened to that. But they ran a footy show on Friday morning. And that week they had Brendan Cowell in. So are you familiar with Brendan Cowell?
Brendan
Cowell, actor, just loves Cronulla, but just a rugby league person through and through, a real character of the game. And he's done his book called Plum. He's making an ABC TV series based on the book where he plays an ex-pro who played for Cronulla, and it's about his life. So he's on the program and he's like, let's go the Bulldogs. Let's kill Bambi. Sort of thing. Like, it was like, let's be the bad guys. Embrace it. Everybody wants to see South win. But fuck them. Let's kill Bambi. Let's be the baddest people. Let's shatter dreams. And it sort of felt like a call to arms as a Canterbury person. And it's sort of like Canterbury Bankstown, we love being the bad guy.
Yeah.
We are the baddest team on turf. Well, that was our sort of identity. And it's almost like, no. We are going to upset everybody, just like how we did in the early 2000s.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.